most everyone here, there's always a little bit of fear that pops up. I wanted to talk about something that has been a part of my life since I was as young as I can remember. And that's my love for stories. And, so it's no surprise that I was drawn to the coin tradition and the things, because those are stories in a certain sense of the word. And stories, of course, have been used forever, as long as humans have been able to talk, to either track history or give different teachings in different ways. Don't stick your hand in the fire, because there was a story about the little boy who did that, and whatever. So stories have been used for all kind of things, and I have been always drawn to the stories that touched my heart in a loving way. And as I have continued to be an adult, whatever that means, I've discovered a lot of things of why I like stories. And I like things that touch my heart. To me, the heart is my path. I use the mind when I need to, which is most of the time, but I don't use that as my guidepost. I tend to use my heart as the direction pointer for my actions and my to point the way on the path. It's much more reliable to me. And that's what stories have always done, is illuminate those that aspect of me, which is the guiding light for me. The first story I remember ever paying much attention to was one that my grandmother told me. It was a little poem, and I learned this poem by the time I was 5 or 6. I could recite it. And I'm not sure exactly why my grandmother chose this poem over and over and over to as a teaching tool. I'm not sure she knew either, but I'm pretty sure it's because she had a lot of love in her heart. And the poem went like this: A sheep and a goat were walking in the pasture. The sheep said, "Goat, can't you walk a little faster?" And the goat says, "No, I have a sore toe." And the sheep said, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't know." And that would make me laugh when I was a little boy, but it also touched me in a way. I didn't know that she was teaching me about compassion and non-judgment. I mean, I didn't realize that until many years later. But as I went on through life, and my mind developed and I got stuck out in the world, as we all do, it seems like stories would touch me in the heart and bring me back to that place of comfort and that place where I could live my life from in a better way. And so I collected stories all my life, and they're almost like a little shorthand for a specific feeling. That's what stories do for me. They lead me directly to my heart. Not all stories, of course. I can't read Stephen King and stuff like that. That doesn't take me to my heart. But some of the stories, I wrote down a couple of them, and some of them I have discovered recently. But there was an experience a few years ago that that happened. I have always loved magic tricks and illusions and things like that. And a friend of mine was a magician, and he was putting on a show. And it was at some gymnasium, and I took off work and went and sat down in the stands, and I was waiting for the show to start. And a group of children came marching in a line, and they climbed up on the bleachers, and this little boy sat down next to me, and there was a whole row of children down there, and it was in the summer, and so I didn't know why they were all in a group. And so I asked the little boy, I said, "What is it? What are you all doing here?" He said, "Oh, we go to vacation Bible school." I said, "Okay, what do you do in vacation Bible school?" And he said, "Well, we make arts and crafts, and we sing songs and that sort of thing." And I said, "Do you ever read the Bible?" He said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Well, have you read the Bible?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I've read the Bible." And then I said, "Well, what do you think God is?" And boy, he got real serious. And he looked at me, he said, "Well, I haven't got that far yet." That's just a metaphor for all of us, isn't it? And in his little 6-year-old mind, he was very willing to express that. He hadn't got that far yet. He knew the feeling, but in his mind, he hadn't got that far yet. Another thing that I love about stories, and it goes back to the heart, is that I love stories that make me laugh. We study in our traditions, and almost all spiritual traditions, that there's the source, the big kahuna, the Tao, the Buddha mind, whatever. We can't even conceive of it, and yet from that then comes this luminosity. Its nature is luminous, and then as it expresses, it expresses as compassion and love, and for me, laughter is a way back into the loving kindness and the compassion, which leads back to the luminosity. So here's a story. Well, I have a couple, but one of them, I just read this one a few years ago, and I loved it. There was a man, and it could be me, it could be all of us, who was searching for enlightenment. And oh man, that was the thing. Gotta get enlightened. And so search. Finally, he met a holy man who said, "Well, if you go across that river, enlightenment is on the other side." So he gets to the river, and he's standing there, and he doesn't know how to get across. And he sees another guy on the other side of the river, and he yells over to the other guy. He said, "Hey, how do I get across the river?" And the guy on the other side, he looked up and down, and he said, "You are on the other side of the river." So I love those kinds of stories. Here's one of my favorite stories. A long time ago, in another place far, far away, we can start the story however we want. There was a holy man who had a group of students, people that loved his wisdom. And so they had a ritual that they would perform. On the new moon, he would take them all to a sacred grove in the forest. But it was a mystical place, and they were not allowed to know where this place was because it was part of the great mystery. So what he would do is he had a rope, and they would grab hold of the rope, and they would close their eyes, and he would lead them through the forest to this mystical grove. And then they would open their eyes and they would be there and they would build a fire. They would get all the wood and they would stack it just so in a perfect manner. And then he would say a prayer. And the prayer was always said in just the perfect way, just so. And they would put their intentions into the wood and then they would light the fire. And their intentions would rise to heaven, and then God would appear and walk amongst them. And then they would close their eyes, grab hold of the rope, and he would take them back. Well, after he died, they wanted to continue this tradition, but they didn't know where the sacred grove was. So they decided, we'll just pick a place in the forest and hope this works. So they went to the forest. They gathered the wood and they stacked it just so. And they said the prayers just so. They put their intentions in, lit the fire, and God came and walked amongst them. Well, the next generation did not know where to go in the forest. They didn't know how to build the fire, but they remembered the prayer. So they would just pick a place and they'd build a fire and put their intentions in there and say the prayer, and God would come and walk amongst them. The following generation didn't know where to go. They didn't know how to build a fire. They didn't even know the prayer. But what they did is they would sit around in a circle and tell the story. And God would come and walk amongst them. That story is pretty much the story of my practice. I don't remember all the prayers. I don't remember all the rituals. But in my heart, I remember the story. And that helps God come and walk in my life, whatever God is. Let's see. I think I've got one more story, which is something I read. Krishnamurti told this story. He said, I was traveling in India giving my talks, and he said, you know, in India, the people on the road are just crazy. He said, you got to really get in the flow of things when you're driving. He said, and I had a couple of people that were traveling with me. And I was sitting in the front seat and the driver was driving crazily going from one town to where my next talk was. And I could overhear the two men in the back seat and they were talking about consciousness and awareness and being tuned into the cosmos and mindfulness and all these wonderful things, he said. But suddenly the driver swerved to miss a goat, slammed on his brakes, and the two guys in the back seat leaned forward and said, what was that? What happened? I don't know why that story, well, I know why it makes me laugh. It's one thing to think about consciousness, and it's a completely other thing to have it. And I don't think consciousness means knowing, you know, where I dropped my shoe yesterday. And, you know, but anyway, it brings me laughter, and it reminds me that laughter is an expression of the heart, which is an expression of, and all the way back to Buddha nature. So I got lots of stories, but that's all I'm going to tell for today. And if anybody has any stories they will share, well, I'd love to hear them because I keep a list of stories. Thank you. Thank you.
Man, that was just great. Smile, you open up my heart.